Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Ben Arthur from the Tennessean, who does an outstanding job of covering the Tennessee Titans. Ben, how's it going? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Robbie, Joe, how are you doing?
We are great, Ben. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Ben, let's just start on the OTA front. Is it a big deal that a lot of big-time players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, are not there in your mind, or at least weren't the other day? How do you kind of view the attendance on the field the other day?
Yeah, it's not really an issue to me. I feel like this is a storyline every year with big-name players, established veterans not showing up. I think people just need to remember that it's May, it's voluntary. As long as guys are doing what they need to do outside of the facility back home, wherever they train, and come back ready to go by mandatory minicamp in June, I don't really have a problem with it. As you said, you know, a lot of it was with the Titans' absences, they were really geared on the defensive side of the ball. I don't really have a problem with it. You look at some of the guys that were absent, Danico Autry, Jeff Simmons, Kevin Byard, guys you know will be ready to play come June and training camp. I believe those, if I remember correctly, all those guys didn't show up last year as well, and you know, everything turned out fine. So you know, I don't have a problem with it. I know in an ideal world, Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff would like to have everyone there, but they also understand guys have their own routines, and as long as they come ready to play, I don't really have an issue with it.
Man, what do you make of this whole Treylenburg situation?
Yeah, I think it certainly is interesting. At the very least, but I'd also caution people from making too big of a deal of the situation at this point. What he was drafted maybe like 3 weeks ago. And yeah, you'd like to see him going through full practices, but we also don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, kind of as usual, Mike Vrabel is kind of vague on health or, you know, potential injury situations, but I think again, as kind of that the last question about, like, in regards to OTAs, I think it's important to remember that it's May. There's still a long way to go until the season starts. If conditioning is an issue, you know, Treylon Burks does have time. I know I wasn't on the beat a few years ago when AJ was a rookie, but to my understanding, like, weight, I guess, was kind of an issue with him, and he turned out just fine for training camp, and obviously that season, you know, having over 1,000 yards as a rookie. And so, not saying that AJ and Treylon's situation are similar, we don't know if Treylon may have, you know, an asthma thing or allergies, I don't know, but I don't think as of right now, being that it's May, still, I don't think it's too big of a deal. It's just maybe interesting is maybe the correct word to use at this time.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean on with us here on Robbie and Rexrode. So, Ben, looking at this offense, obviously there's a gigantic hole left by A.J. Brown. You lost Roger Saffold on the offensive line. Of those two position groups, wide receiver and the O-line, what's more concerning to you? What's more intriguing to watch to you right now in terms of the impact they could have on this team and maybe the holes that are there as well? Which one are you concerned more about, wide receiver or offensive line?
Yeah, I think right now I'd be more concerned about the offensive line. I mean, this was a group that gave up 47 sacks last season. You know, Ryan Tannehill was the second most sacked quarterback, I believe, behind Joe Burrow last season, and you lose two starters, and you know, after kind of the roster moving, you know, part of the off season, there still aren't really clear answers at those two holes in left guard and right tackle. You certainly hope Dylan Raidens makes that jump, but what if he doesn't, right? Like, they haven't really added much. I mean, Jamarco Jones is a career backup. Nick Petit-Frere, he's a rookie. So I think there's just so much uncertainty there. Obviously, with receiver, there is uncertainty as well. But I think the fact that Robert Woods was already on the is already on the field now for OTAs, and I think the Titans from a pass catching standpoint will get a big boost from the tight ends this year, just with, you know, having a guy like Austin Hooper, you know, former Pro Bowler, and, you know, a guy I saw already have somewhat of a connection with Tannehill at that open OTA session on Tuesday. He may have been the most targeted guy outside of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. So obviously there are concerns with that pass-catching group, but I think you look at just the additions that the Titans have made in at wide receiver, at tight end, and the lack of additions on the O-line. I think you have to look more at the O-line as being more of a point of weakness, you know, just making sure Tannehill is upright and has the time to find his guys on the outside.
First of all, Ben, thank you for mentioning NWI, of course. And I agree.
Always has to.
That's right. You come on this show, you better say something good about NWI.
That's right.
But I agree. He was actually really good. And Hooper looked, I thought, great. But to your point on the offensive line, man, that to me is the biggest concern on this team. That's number one on my list of concerns. And when you have, you know, 40% of a starting lineup unsettled and really completely up in the air as of, you know, a couple months before training camp, that's not great. So, Ben, I've been at, we ask everybody, gonna put you on the spot too. Right now, you have to predict the starting five up front for the Giants game. What's your five?
Taylor Lewan, left tackle, left guard, Jamarco Jones, center, Ben Jones, right guard, Nate Davis, and right tackle, Dylan Raidens. I think, you know, I don't know how big of a jump Raidens will make, but I think he will be better, and I think the Titans are committed to playing him at the position he was drafted to play, at least give him a chance there, put Jamarco Jones, you know, who could be an emergency option at tackle, of course, but he does have a lot of experience at guard from his time with the Seahawks. I covered him for a couple seasons in Seattle. So I think as of right now, that's probably their best lineup with limited information. Of course, we're in May, but I think if you put me on the spot now, I'd say that's my starting five.
Ben, we talked about this, I think, last week when it was brought up by Jeremy Fowler, a report that maybe the Titans are open to another contract with Derrick Henry. What do you make of Derrick Henry's contractual situation that he's in right now with the Titans, and should the Titans be open to maybe taking a look at that as they head into this season?
Yeah, I don't really see that doesn't really make sense to me right now. Without even at the least, like, him playing in 2022, seeing what he looks like. I mean, look, you know, he's coming off the first major injury of his career. He's going to be 29 this season. He already plays a short shelf life position. You know, you don't know what he's going to be moving forward. You already kind of have an out of his contract as is in the, you know, worst case scenario that he's not the same player in 2022. I don't understand the logic in giving him a new deal, more upfront money, with kind of all those factors about his health, age, and then, you know, just the running back position. I think you kind of let this, you let him kind of play it out, right? I mean, at least through 2022. I mean, he still has two, it's not like he's entering a contract year. He still has 2 years on that current deal. So extending him now when he's already kind of getting older and is coming off a serious injury, as great as he's been and as beloved as he is, I just don't really see why that makes sense at this point of the point in time. Like, if he has a monster year in 2022, you know, 1,800 yards, something crazy like that, doesn't, you know, the foot injury wasn't really a step back, maybe you consider it then. But as of right now, just based off of what happened and, you know, the success you had with Deontay Foreman, a guy you got off the street, you know, on a, essentially a veteran minimum deal, you know, the run game didn't take any step back. So I think you look at all the factors, it just doesn't really make sense to extend Derrick Henry right now.
Ben, I just wanted to ask you, anything else? Is one thing, you know, for people who don't know, you can count up Ben is going to be at every single thing. He's going to look at every single snap, like Ben TD, Glenn and Beauclair, not Kaharski. Kaharski skips days to go lollygagging around, but like these guys you can count on to be there every day. What else, just one thing we haven't talked about that has jumped out at you from rookie minicamp, you know, OTAs this week that you're like, oh, I didn't know that, or that surprised me, or that stands out to me?
Well, I'd say that the secondary is going to be something to watch, right? Like, as many strides as we saw the defense make last year, and it was one heck of a turnaround from 2020 to 2021, I think that the secondary is kind of the part of the defense that does need the most work, right? I mean, if I remember correctly, they were 25th in pass defense last season. You know, the cornerback spot is obviously something to watch with Jackrabbit Jenkins out of the picture. I thought it was really encouraging that Caleb Farley was out on the field doing individuals, even doing some team stuff. I went in not expecting to see him on the field, but he was out there. He looked good, moved fast, made cuts. So I think that's probably the secondary, and maybe more specifically the cornerback situation with Caleb Farley, and then you bring in another early round pick in Roger McCreary, how he kind of fits in. Just, you know, you have in Molden, McCreary, Fulton, and Farley, you have, you know, what, four guys drafted in the first three rounds at cornerback. I mean, there's a lot of competition there, and seeing how all that shakes out is going to be something to watch. And then just one last thing on the secondary, I think Theo Jackson, I think is going to be an interesting player. I mean, as a sixth round pick, you know, you have to consider the fact that he may not make the team, but I think he could be that dang Crookshank for the Titans in 2022, that potential tight end stopper, a longer, taller defensive back who I think has a chance to get some meaningful snaps on defense. So those are probably the things I'm kind of eyeing as we kind of move forward.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessee, and our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, does an outstanding job covering the Tennessee Titans for the Tennessean. Ben, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Ben Arthur, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a lot of those to get to on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, coming up next. Make every day a good old day with the hand-cranked taste of Bluebell ice cream. The weather, it's a little rainy today, but it's been warming up as of late. Pool time coming up, summertime vacations coming up, and nothing goes better than summertime and Bluebell ice cream. Make sure you check it out. The good old days are being made right now. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezebic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Liam on the text line says, for the same money we kept Jeff Swaim, we let Foreman walk. That was crazy. This is coming from Liam on the text line. So we've talked a little bit about the decision of Deontay Foreman and letting him go today. What do you make of that comparison there of the Swaim / Foreman decision? Because, again, I go back to, if Derrick Henry's healthy and you believe that, if you're John Robinson, like how much is – how much is Deontay Foreman really going to play?
Right. And again, if you felt like, okay, he did a heck of a job, but it's time to maybe try to look at the next guy who's young, who can come in on a rookie deal. We really like this guy or that guy. I mean, look, like, was Hassan Haskins the guy all along that they were hoping to get? I mean, every GM will tell you that after a draft. Oh, he was number one on our board, yeah. You know, but he does seem to fit pretty well. And again, you have a four-year rookie deal. You got $690K in guaranteed money. So you know, at this point, you're the Titans. As long as you live in the world where you realize the cap exists, you do need to try to cut a little bit here or there wherever you can. And I understand, and I said this on the text line in response, I understand the Swaim thing. If you want to compare those two, I hadn't really thought about it that way, but Swaim is going to play a ton this year. I mean, like it or not, and I do think Swaim gets maybe a little bit of a bad rap for last year.
He got torched a few times last year, yes. Blocking wise. Now, get in line with people who did, but he wasn't just complete dog water out there, I don't think.
No. I mean, the thing that stands out to me is the Seattle game. There was at least one really bad whiff that was very consequential. But
yeah, that, and you had Josh Reynolds running in motion, arena football style, as the line was going. It was great stuff in Seattle last year.
Wait, I thought that was against the Jets. Was that in Seattle?
That was Seattle.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's right. We're taking it to he hate me rolling up on the line, going vertical to start before the snap. But the thing is with a guy like Swaim, you know, most of the times that he actually fulfilled his assignment, like, isn't noticed, right? I mean, you make a big mistake. I mean, it's like Alex Carrier. I mean, Carrier had a couple bad mistakes, or he got victimized in the playoffs, right? And so if you want to seize on a moment or two that are really bad, you can, but it's probably better to try to analyze and look at the whole picture. And I think this coaching staff, like Swaim, thinks he's a solid tight end. I don't have a problem with re-signing him for the deal he got at all. He's not a standout. He's not going to be a star, but you need the grinders too. And I think he's a pretty reliable grinder. And by the way, as Ben Arthur said in his last segment, no, and I said this yesterday, like, you see the difference when Austin Hooper is out there wearing number 81, running around, catching passes, running routes. Like, just he has the makeup of a number one tight end, which is certainly something they missed last year. And that's certainly, I think, something that will be upgraded this year.
What do you think of the Theo Jackson part of this? Ben brought that up in the last segment. Obviously, by all accounts, he was very impressive in the rookie minicamp. You know, he's a sixth round pick. You know, in all likelihood, if you're the Titans, you're hoping he's not playing a ton for you this year, even if he makes the team. But, you know, Theo Jackson, to me, and I watched him play pretty much every snap last year. He was awesome last year with Tennessee. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to translate to the NFL level, but I think Theo Jackson's a player. And I think that can end up being something where if you're the Titans and you found him in the sixth round, I'm not going to say it's like the steal of the draft or anything like that, but he can end up being a really nice find for you, I think, in the sixth round.
You know, when you have a chance to draft a VFL, you draft a VFL, Robin.
That's what you do.
By golly. But seriously, I do think back to last year when they could have drafted Trey Smith, and we wouldn't be talking about that spot on the offensive line.
We would not.
They did draft Brady Breeze. So this is kind of a do-over for that, and it's early, so you want to be cautious. But even more than what I've seen, because I agree with Ben and everybody, and we've talked about it, like, he looks good out there. But even more than that, he was really consistently good. He took a totally – he went to another level entirely as a player. He was a whatever player, right, at Tennessee before last season. He was fine. He was good enough to start in the SEC. That's pretty good, but last year, I'm like, oh, okay, that might be a pro. And so when you take a big step like that, you have to look at the coaching staff coming in. I think Tim Banks gets credit, scheme, and all that, and getting the most out of a player. But what has been talked about a lot around Theo Jackson by Theo Jackson is that film nut stuff that it's cliche, but don't get it mixed up. I mean, don't get it twisted. Kevin Byard is where he is because he's like that. He's not – Kevin Byard's a great player, has all the measurables you need, but he's not like some overwhelming physical presence safety. He finds a way to give himself an edge every single week because he knows how to study teams and tendencies and opponents. And so Theo Jackson has that reputation. Now he's coming in to be an understudy with Kevin Byard. You got to like that recipe.
I think so too. And, you know, we talked about the Caleb Farley part of this earlier. Like, there's so much attention on him. But as Rosenthal pointed out in that NFL.com article, you know, it's a really, in a lot of ways, it is a boom or bust secondary when it comes to the cornerback position specifically. They're very young there. You know, Christian Fulton at this point, in terms of the projected starters, Christian Fulton's like the, you know, the elder statesman out there, and he's going into his third year. You got Elijah Molden, and then, you know, we would assume Caleb Farley on that other spot. Now, maybe it ends up being McCreary, but either way, you're talking about a rookie or you're talking about a second-year player that barely played last year. So starters-wise, there's not a ton of experience at that position. Talent-wise, if it works out, that could end up being quite the spot. But that's the one spot on the defense where I look at where I'm like, and where I'm thinking to myself, like, it could be really, really good if Caleb Farley works out and takes a step forward. And if not, I mean, you do have veteran guys like Chris Jackson and Buster Screen back there, so you like the depth. But the upside of those young guys, if it works out, could be great. If it doesn't, it still could, to me, could be an average corner group.
Yeah, I agree. I like Fulton a lot. Lock him in. I personally think Molden is your starting slot corner, but we'll see. Maybe McCreary does compete with him there, and that's a better spot for McCreary. It's possible. It's never bad to have competition, especially when when both the competitors are guys on rookie deals. But really, the Titans need either McCreary or Farley to emerge ideally and be that other outside corner. And, you know, it's better for John Robinson if it's Farley, because yeah, then we can stop talking about yet another draft pick that goes high in the draft and underwhelms. For the sake of the football team, it doesn't really matter. And if Roger McCreary comes in and just sets the world on fire in camp, it's just better. Hey, well, then you've made a good pick there. And now you can still, Farley's a little less pressure on him. He can develop still second year. I mean, look, you got to give him some grace for all these injuries, right? I mean, you kind of knew what you were signing up for coming in. But the troubled scenario is if neither of them, like the rookie's kind of a rookie still, Farley's not physically ready. That's your clear weak spot of the defense.
And you're in a tough spot at that point. Coming up next, we'll get into a Predators fan survey that Adam Vingan from The Athletic has put out there and put together. Some very interesting questions on this survey. We'll get into that coming up next. As always, take your thoughts on our text line, 615-737-1025. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports as well. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Combine NBA playoff player props you love with your favorite baseball home run hitters for your chance to score an even bigger payout. So Golden State coming up in Game 5. I like Steph Curry to have a big game. Give me over on threes for Steph Curry, and give me over on points coming up tonight for Connor McDavid in the Battle of Alberta. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join 102.5 The Game this Sunday for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix Indy 500 Watch Party at Jonathan's Grill in Mount Juliet from 11 to 3 p.m. Enter to win a VIP experience and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix that includes tickets, paddock passes, and official pace car ride as well. Also enjoy 2-for-1 specials on draft and bottled beer. That's this Sunday at Jonathan's in Mount Juliet from 11 to 3 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The Game, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, your colleague at The Athletic and friend of this show, Adam Vingan, came out with a Predators fan survey a couple of days ago. He was closing in on 1,000 responses to this survey, and there's a lot of different interesting questions in here that Adam's thrown out there. You can go check it out at theathletic.com. But one of them is just as simple as, you know, which word describes your feelings about the current state of the Predators? And optimistic, frustrated, skeptical, pessimistic, and apathetic are the options there. You can kind of go down the list here in terms of interesting questions that Adam has thrown out there in terms of there's a lot of decisions to make this offseason and a lot of, I think, introspection the Predators are going to have to do. Well, what do you make of that question about the current state of the Predators, and what do you make of this fan poll that Adam has thrown out there? I'm interested to see what the results are, and it's interesting, too. You read off the results from a year ago. When you start to stack some of these polls up, the trajectory of how the fan base feels is pretty fascinating.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count as a miss.
That's close.
Actually, hold on. See, I muted on purpose to clear my throat. Boom.
Thank you.
Okay, let's predict. Let's the three of us predict right now. Okay. And then when we get the results. So we're going to predict the number one answer. Okay, the most popular answer. So, which word best describes your feelings about the current state of the Predators? Optimistic, frustrated, skeptical, pessimistic, apathetic. I predict that the number one answer will be skeptical.
That's where I was too.
I'm okay. Going frustrated.
Okay.
Skeptical for Joe and Robbie, frustrated for Michelle. All right. Is this like a Freudian slip because of like dealing with us on a daily basis?
Oh, could be.
Me? Never.
Yeah. Who, me?
Frustrated with these two idiots she has to work with all day. Yeah.
No, I'm very positive. You guys are fun to work with.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Just a barrel of monkeys over here.
Just a pair of bronies.
Yeah. How did I get looped into this now?
Dude, I thought we were going to get through a show without that word. Oh my God.
You brought it up.
Okay.
That's the first time I've been looped into it. How did I get graduate into this?
Well, I guess if you're near a brony for a long period of time, do you eventually become a brony? Is like a common law marriage? Might be.
Maybe so.
All right. On a scale from 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, how confident are you Predators general manager David Poile can return the team to Stanley Cup contender status? I think the most popular answer will be 2. 2 out of 5.
I'll go 3. I think the most popular answer will be 3.
I'm going to say 2 as well, Joe.
3 was most popular last year, by the way. And I think it's going to be close, but I think the confidence level is waning, and I think it'll go that way, but we'll see. All right, how do you feel about the Predators giving John Hines a 2-year contract? For it, against it, or indifferent? I hate to use Twitter. I hope that this proves, again, that Twitter should not be trusted. We talked earlier on the show, like, I think this is a really good survey because people who subscribe to The Athletic to read about the Predators are probably pretty invested. And frankly, anyone on Twitter can answer any poll, and they may have no interest. They may be following someone for something totally different. But people who would find this survey probably are invested in the Preds. I would hope it wouldn't be against it that would win, but I actually am going to predict that. I hope I'm wrong.
I'll go indifferent. I think indifferent will be the top result.
It should be. I think indifference fine. Either the other two are fine. Okay, so you got indifferent. Michelle, what do you say?
I'm going to go also against it.
Okay. Sorry, this is me, technology. Do you want to hear directly from ownership about the direction of the franchise? The only, by the way, before we get to that, yes or no, it's a yes or no answer. You know, before we get to that, I'm a little bit confused. Haven't talked much about Jared today, but Jared's got this thing where like, well, Sean Henry can speak for them. That's fine with me. I disagree. I mean, Sean Henry is president and CEO, and obviously president and CEO speaks, and Sean Henry is very visible out there and does a lot of stuff, but it's still not the same as ownership, as someone who's actually owns a part of the team, right? I don't think that it is okay, but that's just me. I predict people will agree with me and say yes.
I think they say no.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what they did last year.
Did he ask that question last year?
I think so.
Okay.
The reason I say that, the vibe that I get from some Predators fans, and I don't think this is necessarily the correct way to think about it, and maybe it's changed now, but a lot of like the people that voted no on this last year started talking about like Jerry Jones and all these visible owners that other sports teams have. And they're like, I don't want any part of that stuff. Like, I don't want my owner that visible. And I'm like, well, it doesn't really necessarily mean they have to be Jerry Jones, but like speak maybe once every blue moon. That'd be nice.
Right. I mean, Amy Armstrong is never going to be confused with Jerry Jones. I'd like her to talk a little bit more than she does, but she's relatively accessible. And on big things, she's going to talk. And I think that's good. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's taking it way too far. Would you Michelle, what's your guess?
I would personally say I think ownership should talk, but I think fans, I'm going to agree with Robbie on that one. I think fans will say no.
Okay. Would you support a full-scale rebuild if it meant picking number one in the draft at least once? This is a good question by Vingan. Yes or no?
I predict yes wins. I don't know if I believe it, but I predict that yes wins.
I'm going to predict no. And we are different on a lot of these. I'm going to predict no. I think this is a great example of a very loud people who are like, you got to blow it up. And I think the more reasonable thing is, well, you got to make good choices. You've got to rebuild to an extent, but completely blowing up, try to get the one. I don't think the majority of people are going to say yes, but I may be naive. Michelle?
I think that fans are going to say yes. They're going to look at that. Yeah, we get the number one pick. They're going to vote yes. But if it actually happens, they're going to hate it.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, I've heard Darren talk about this. Like, okay, you're going to show up then, right, for 3 years of utter dead, the dead things, which is what the Detroit Red Wings have been at various points. Philip Forsberg is projected to receive an 8-year deal with an annual cap hit of around $8.5 million if he stays in Nashville, according to Evolving Hockey's model. If those are the terms, should the Predators resign him? I think it will be an overwhelming yes on this.
I agree. I've been saying those exact terms for 4 months, so I'm going yeah.
Three for three. Are you
the Evolving Hockey burner?
I'm Evolving Hockey in the flesh.
No, Robbie, sliced bread.
Yes, both.
Evolving bread. All right, ideally, how many starts should Saros make next season? Between 50 and 55, 55 and 60, 60 and 65. 65 or more. I'm going to predict that the people will say between 55 and 60, which is where I would put it.
I'm going 60 and 65.
I'm going the second option. Was that the 51? 50 to 55?
55 and 60, yeah.
Yeah, okay. 55 and 60.
All right. Do we have time to hit this, or do we need to go to the break?
Sure.
Okay.
I just want to point out, to Adam Vingan that I'm not the one reading off his entire poll. It's his coworker at The Athletic.
Who also works for The Athletic.
Yeah.
Wait. Are you going to get me in trouble right now? Is Vingan listening?
I don't know.
See, I think that now you got me all freaked out. It's been out for a few days.
We'll just read your article word for word on The Athletic on air.
Yes. God dang it. Let's go to break.
Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Rex Road apparently approves of this comeback song. He is not a big fan of Harry Styles.
Come on, why do we have to bring it to the air?
I didn't love that one, but hey, Willie's cool. You and
Willie. Am I not cool?
Some Harry Styles.
How come you said Willie was cool first? I'm your co-worker, Joe. Well, I guess he is.
No. Understand. This is generational. So Willie's and I are in the same generation. So I'm saying he's cool for liking Harry Styles. You are young, so I forgive you for bad musical taste. It's fine. We're working on it. It's a mentor. It's like mentoring Jared in life. We got movies and music, and we all have ways we can improve.
So I told Joe yesterday, Robbie, that if he listens to Harry Styles a couple of his new songs, I will finish the movie Office Space. And we will both be helping each other in society. You can relate you can relate to your kids more, Joe.
I don't know if I have confidence in either one of you doing that.
No, I will do it because,
Willie.
Like, everyone needs to watch that movie. A couple things I want to say off the jump. First of all, Katie has brought, you know, father-in-law, mother-in-law, my mom, my little brother and sister. They said that my brother says, we've planned out your future career after having listened to the show. So, and I said, what is announcer for cockfights? And I did not get a yes or no, but it just a laugh. So, but also I want to say on a volunteer opportunity for folks, my friend Michelle works for Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. June 4th, Nissan Stadium, Lot J, annual Take Steps Walk to benefit the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation's Tennessee chapter. 7:30 to 11:30, they need volunteers. I'll be there. The Rex Road Clan will be there. So come volunteer with us. And there is a sign up. I guess I should probably tweet out the sign up, huh? I'll tweet out the sign up today, okay?
But, at Joe Rex Road on Twitter.
That's right. At Joe Rex Road on Twitter. They need some volunteers. Very worthy cause. Come on out. We'll have some fun.
Yep, absolutely.
And by the way, one more thing. Sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off. Vingan said it's fine, so we can keep going. Good.
After you just do what, 9 of the 10 questions?
Fire away, Joe.
Woo-hoo. I still got 3 left. Okay. Which player has the best chance of repeating his career best performance? Duchesne, Forsberg, Yossi, none of the above. That's an interesting one because, again, first of all, like the Forsberg question, we don't know he's going to be on the team next year. I said I think it'll be Yossi. I think people are going to go with me. I think people are going to guess Yossi.
I think people are going to go none of the above. I think that's going to be the winner. None of the above.
Okay.
And I think people will go Forsberg. So we all have different answers on that one.
Okay. I like it. Top priority. What should the Preds' top priority be this offseason? Top 6 scoring winger or wingers. Top 4 defensemen who can play with Yossi or Ekholm. A backup goaltender or other, in which you must leave the answer in the comment section. I think that I think the top option will win. I think convincingly a top 6 scoring winger or wingers.
This will be nearly 95% top 6 scoring winger or wingers. I have no doubt about it. 95%.
Yeah, I think it'll win in a landslide. Michelle?
Yes, agree with both of you.
Go other. And then leave something in the comments.
Leave something in the comments.
Yes. Go right down to the last question, which is glorious. What aspect of the Predators in-game experience would you eliminate? Fang fingers. As we go through these, my own personal feeling, fang fingers are fine. It's a quick little thing. Fang. I mean, I like when Paul says fang fingers. And I also think that's kind of like it's got to be annoying to the opponent too, right? Just like the, I like it. I love it. I mean, you know, people hate hearing that. They just got scored on. I feel like if you're an opponent in Bridgestone and you hear fang fingers, like that's got to be annoying as hell, right? So,
well, that's probably the greatest segment you've ever done right there. It's good stuff.
Thanks. Again, like I said, I mean, I could call some cockfights like crazy, man.
You could.
Just sign me up. The second one is DMX's Party Up for the Power Play song. I like that. I mean, you know, it's fine. Mix it up is fine too, but I feel like it's pretty good. There's an other, and then of course there's what better be the dominant 99.999% answer, glorious domination. Just that's got to go. That to me should be the runaway winner. It probably won't be as much of a landslide as I hope, but I think it will be the winner.
It's time to launch glorious domination into the sun. I think it's going to be the winner as well.
Yeah, that's mine too.
That's the third time she's played that on the program today. You brought this on yourself, Rex Road.
I mean, I'm sure before we're done, we're gonna hear that, right? Come on, Michelle.
No, you know, because you wanna do it. I will get shamed.
Well, your boyfriend would like it, right?
Nah, he's not really. He doesn't really like Blackhawks.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Who does he cheer for?
The Preds. He just said it's kind of like over, like they had the 3 Stanley Cups, and I'm like, okay, now let's relax or whatever. And he's like, it's just over, like everybody loves him now, and he's just kind of like, eh.
I mean, look at these Chicago hockey fans.
I'm like, okay, we get it, you're privileged. We get it, yeah. Must be nice.
I hope it was enjoyable being a 7-year fan of a team, Chicago Blackhawks fans. You can go back to complaining about Justin Fields and, you know, Mitch Trubisky.
April in Portland says, none of them should be eliminated. That's why I went with Game Ops. Glorious is my favorite, and I'll be devastated if they take it away. They took it away, and all the fans complained about it when they changed the power play song to the stupid Dierks Bentley song. Leave all of them. It's coming from April from Portland.
Oh, April.
The 5150 power play song for Dierks Bentley is a little rough. And I'm a big Dierks Bentley guy. Love me some Dierks Bentley, but wasn't a great power play song.
You know, April, I typically agree with everything that you text in. I am so disappointed in you today. So, like, come on. That's so, and by the way, we still haven't figured out who sings that stupid song. Let's give proper credit for creating this steaming pile of music to whoever did it. So it is. Wait, is it Bobby Roode as the wrestler?
Dude, you're entering into a world that I could not possibly tell
you. No, that's his intro song.
Yeah, right, but who sings the song?
I don't know.
A guy named Joe Rexroad sings it.
Oh my gosh. This, like, you Google it and all, look, oh, it's WWE Music Group. So it's like basically Muzak. It's like, okay, our in-house band, they got a synthesizer.
Vince here we go, McMahon guys. Out there composing music.
Make the change, Preds. This could change the trajectory of your franchise. I would approve of putting a banner up that says, we got rid of Glorious. Put it up.
You know what? In retrospect, I'm going other in the comments. We need more Scott Stapp. That's the bottom line. So whether it's him singing Glorious Domination or whether he's on the band stage more than once a year, either one, I'm cool with. Bring me more Scott Stapp.
What if he's saying Glorious? Again, that's my Scott Stapp's bad. Again, it sounds like a drunken Springsteen. I got to work on that.
Okay, Joe, turn your mic off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for the end of the show. Are we there yet?
It's been a busy day here on the program today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow, hopefully. The DDC is coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.